In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we cannot have anything that is good in this life without patience and without courage. And these things are spoken of in both of today's Gospels, if you read them in a spiritual way. And of course, we should read everything in a spiritual way. The Gospels, the Epistles, all of Scripture is for our edification, for our knowledge. We must apply it to our lives. It's not just facts. It's not just things to know. It's not history or archaeology or science or even just the precepts of theology. It is the way of life. It is the Word of God. So let us listen to this Word of God and see what it tells us to do. Something very, very important that I guarantee you, all of us, without exception, are lacking in, that we must become better at. We know this story about the fishing. This is the first expedition. There's two in the Gospels. One at the very beginning, the calling of the disciples, and one at the end after the resurrection. And I've talked before about how those are important to be read in context to one another. Very, very important to see how we grow, how we change over time if we stay with Christ. But there's something a little different I want to talk about today. He was teaching them, our Lord. And then he told Simon, launch out into the deep and catch some fish. They'd been fishing all night long, and he'd been teaching in the early morning, and they were tired. So Simon says, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. There is a principle here that you must apply to your lives. It's all over the Scriptures. It's not just here. Sometimes it's said explicitly. Sometimes it is said more in a figure like here or in the parable about the 10 virgins, which I'll say something about in a moment. This principle is that you must endure. You must be patient. You must have courage. You must go out into the deep. Now you can think of the deep. Obviously, that's into the middle of the sea. It's unknown. It's far. It takes a lot of labor. And a lot of times when you go out into the deep as a fisherman, you don't catch anything. The Scriptures are full of admonitions for us to launch into the deep. That is, to struggle whether or not our struggles are satisfied at that moment. All the time. He who endures to the end will be saved. By your patience possess ye your souls. He who began a good work in you will complete it unto the day of my Christ Jesus. It's everywhere. There's probably not a book or almost a page that does not tell us that we must do this. In the parable of the 10 virgins, the patristic understanding of the oil is the grace of the Holy Spirit. And this grace of the Holy Spirit was obtained over long time, over times of labor and difficulty. That is what the tarrying of the bridegroom is meant to signify. He doesn't come all at once. And he comes late in the night, at the end of your life. And that'll be true for all of us, whether we die before or witness alive the second coming. For us, the end of our life is the coming of the bridegroom. And we must endure with patience and struggle. And I want to talk to you about a different kind of the deep that all of us must go into every day. It's hard to go in there. I know by experience that it's really difficult to go in there. And when I read the ascetical fathers, like from the Philokalia, the Evagrios, things like that, the sayings of the Desert Fathers. This is a deep place that is very difficult to get to, very difficult to stay in, and you have very hard and difficult feelings when you are in it. If you're honest about it, you'll say that's the truth. And that is, when we pray with attention, with fervor, with desire, when we stand in the presence of God. Now, most of us, probably all of us, are very inexperienced, and we very rarely stand in the presence of God. We stand in church, we say our prayers, but we're not all fire, we're not all flame, we're not completely fixed on God and experiencing that time that the Lord says when there isn't even any prayer. Because we're in the presence of God. There's no need for prayer when you're in the presence of God. You're just being with Him. How often have any of us experienced these moments? We're supposed to. They're supposed to happen all the time. They do with holy people. But to get to those moments takes a lot of time in the deep. Out there fishing and not catching any fish. Out there when it's late, when it's dark, when it's cold, when it's dangerous, when it's lonely, and not catching anything. That's what our prayer is like until it becomes fruitful. I'm not talking about saying your prayers, rattling them off before work or something else. I'm talking about being with God in your heart. Completely. Now, we have a prayer that helps with this immensely. It's not a specific magical set of words that must be said. Any prayer can bring us to God. But this prayer is especially suited because of our temperament, because of our nature, because of how our thoughts go back and forth. And we have hundreds of them, sometimes in a moment. Good and bad, trivial and important, but always pushing us away from being in the moment with God. That prayer that I'm speaking of is the Jesus Prayer. And this gospel, although it does not refer to it explicitly, is fulfilled by saying it. Now the Lord said, "Launch out into the deep." Peter was tired. He hadn't caught anything. He didn't want to do it. He didn't think that there was going to be a lot of success, but he was obedient and he did it. And of course, they caught fish, but they caught too many fish. They caught so many fish, their boats began to sink because they weren't ready for the grace of God flooding into them. And that's where that second time that they fished comes in, when they caught so many fish and their nets did not break. Because they had spent so much time with the Lord and learned so much and become capable of holding on to the grace that He gives them. That process is being in the deep. That process is prayer and struggle and patience. That process is being kind to the people that aren't kind to you. And you're not going to get anything from them. It's not going to benefit you. But to be kind to them. That process is to pray for your enemies. Even though you don't see your enemies becoming less your enemies, you don't see them improving a lot. That process is to pray for someone you love that is in a bad way, in something. Maybe over years, with patience, battling doubt. I don't know who said it, but one person once said, "Faith is a conversation with doubt." Let's be honest with one another. We sometimes have doubt. Not that God exists, but that He hears us, or that our prayers that we say, our deepest feelings will be fulfilled. Perhaps we doubt because of our sins. Perhaps we doubt because we have weak faith in God. Whatever it is, we have doubts that creep in. I tell you, if you've never had doubts during prayer, you haven't prayed hard enough. Because they're going to happen. I guarantee you. I've spoken with people before that say something like, when I start to pray about a certain thing, I become despondent. And so they liken that despondency to showing that they weren't praying right, or that it was so unpleasant that they stopped. And when I tell them, that's normal, that's the process, that's what happens, sometimes their eyes become as big as saucers. Really? I'm not the only one that goes through this? If you really care about something and you pray to God, when you're in the deep, you're not going to feel absolutely top notch. You're going to feel sad. You're going to feel despondent. You're going to feel uncomfortable. But you got to get through it. I always know when I'm praying with more fervor, when I begin to just feel just sad inside and overwhelmed by my sins or by the sins of others, because as a priest, I'm responsible for helping those who sin to stop sinning. I can't figure it out all of myself, and yet I still have to help others. God gives grace to help to do this, but it still is overwhelming. And so when I really pray about it, I feel completely overwhelmed. On those good days, those good moments, I keep praying. Those bad moments, there's thoughts that come in and distractions and something happens and the moment goes away. You got to do this. Christianity is not about coming to service on Sunday, 10-ish. It is about struggling for purity of heart. It's not easy. This is an apt description of what it's like to launch out into the deep, not sure what you're going to catch or if you're going to catch anything. But if you do it day after day, you will catch, since the Lord has guaranteed us that if you endure to the end, you'll be saved. See, this gospel is really about the Christian life and inner prayer and being with God. Christianity is not about stuff you believe, stuff you say. It is about who you are. And who we are must be a person who stands in the presence of God, silent, bathed by His grace. Which one of us can say that we are a Christian by that definition? But we are called to it. So we must just continue on. Learn to pray with fervor. If some of you don't say the Jesus prayer, you should begin. Say it all the time during the day. And that's good to do because we have more remembrance of God. It keeps you out of trouble, let me tell you. If you're saying the Jesus prayer, it's a lot harder when somebody says something to react in a sinful way, because you have the prayer of God's name on your lips or in your heart. It's really hard to do it. Now, we still can accomplish it. But more often, we turn away from sin when we are praying. It makes you a lot smarter. You end up not saying stuff that's stupid all the time. If you think before you're about to say something and pray to God, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Or Lord, help me. Somehow, the words are a little bit more wise. And by the way, by words being wise, I mean a lot of times you don't say anything at all. Because usually that's the best response. It's to say much less than to pray much more. That's a good thing to do, to pray during the day and in your moments of daily activity. But there's another kind of prayer that you must approach and attempt. Even though it's going to be like in the beginning, like when you ride a bicycle or something, you fall off a lot. It's not easy. You're not very good at it. And that is to pray in your closet, to pray with attention, as much attention as you can muster. Let's use attention in a relative sense. Our attention is nothing like the attention of the saints, but God will help us to become more attentive. Pray with attention. We have children and wives and husbands and loved ones and friends and enemies and needs. There's a lot to pray about. If someone is on your heart in some way, either because you're concerned about them, you love them, you grieve for them, or because they're an enemy, or because you don't like them, that's an indication that you should pray for them. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon whatever person you want to pray for, mentioning them by name. Say it once, say it 12 times, say it 100 times. Use your chotki, your prayer rope, to sort of give you a guide. Not because 100 prayers is the magic number that's going to make God hear you, but because when we pray, time passes very slowly, and it appears to us that we've been praying a long time, when actually it's a very short time. So using the prayer rope as a guide is very effective. I do that all the time. Sometimes even moving the prayer rope seems distracting to me, so I pray for a period of time. Even setting a timer so that I don't end up looking at a watch, because then that just distracts you. You got to do this. Because your life is here and now in order to know God intimately. And there's a lot in the way of knowing God intimately. There's your passions. There's your distractions. There's the fact that you really can't pray very well. Just like in anything else, we need to practice at something to become good at it. And so we need to launch out into the deep every day. We need to pray with attention to God. And when you do this, if you haven't done it much before, just be ready for those thoughts that come in. Either the trivial thoughts, I got to do the laundry, I forgot to go get something at the store, I've got some sort of errand to run, all that trivial junk. But also those really hard thoughts, sort of like the thoughts that could be summed up by when Jairus was going with Christ for his daughter to be healed. Somebody came and said, "Don't trouble the master, she's dead." Those kind of thoughts. Those kind of thoughts, "I'm so unworthy, why would God hear me?" Those kind of thoughts, "I prayed for this 100 times, 1,000 times, 10,000 times, nothing's happened." Those kind of thoughts, "I read what the fathers tell me I should do, and I don't come even close to doing it. Who am I trying to kid?" Those kind of thoughts of just feeling overwhelmed by whatever it is, our sins, our circumstances, those kind of thoughts. I'm telling you, if you don't have those kind of thoughts, you're not praying hard enough. Because you got to go through them. Everybody does. A baby must first roll over and then, you know, scoot and crawl and whatever the other word is for when they hold on to something and they kind of go along, and then walk, right? And soon they're running. Everybody has to go through the stages. There's not a baby ever born that walked without crawling. There's nobody ever born that stands in the presence of God without having crawled, without having gone out into the deep, without having gone through thoughts with prayer, the difficult, the hard thoughts. You got to go through this. May God help you to have the strength to do it. Our Lord's judgments are a deep abyss. To be in his presence is like launching out into the deep in a very small boat in a very big ocean. But we must do it. We must do it. Or else we will not fulfill our destiny, our purpose that God has made us for. So brothers and sisters, if my words have any effect on you whatsoever, may it be that you would begin to pray with attention and intensity. Use the Jesus Prayer to do it. Use another prayer if you wish, but the Jesus Prayer would be best suited in almost every case. Use the long form if you want. I used to say the long form, but it seems for some reason I have more attention when I say it in a short way. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, is the long form. The shorter form is, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And there's permutations in between. Say it, and you just see if I'm right. If you say it with any kind of attention, you'll get those feelings, and they won't be pleasant. They're not happy feelings, but they are feelings that you must go through. And when you start to have a little bit more attention, there's just this feeling of warmth in your heart that is indescribable. This feeling of happiness mixed with sadness. The sadness because we are not what we should be, but the happiness that we are becoming what we should be. So brothers and sisters, learn to pray like this. May God help you to launch out into the deep and to be in the presence of God. Amen.